in verse 36. Because John continues on now, and he continues to talk to them about this whole metaphor of him being the bread of life. Because he knows, again, this is a teachable moment. And he knows that they might just get this understanding about bread. So he continues on in verse 36. But as I told you, you have seen me and you still do not believe. If you were to actually, I don't know if you like to write in your Bibles or draw in your Bibles. I have colored pencils and I go through my Bible. And I actually went through this whole passage of Scripture and I highlighted the believe Scriptures. And there's four of them. The word believe is emphasized four times in this passage of Scripture. Belief is critical and it's key to coming to Christ. But he was saying, listen, you've seen me, but you don't believe. You still don't believe. Verse 37, all those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up in the last day. Do you find comfort in that scripture like I do? The enemy comes at us hard. He comes at us hard. And he tells you lies. And he tells you that you're really not one of the saved. You're not one of the chosen. No, he's going to tell you other lies. He's going to tell you that you're worthless. He's going to tell you that you'll never overcome. He's going to tell you that that problem that you've had for 20, 30, 40 years, the thing you just can't quite get past, it's going to be there for the rest of your life. He's going to tell you that the life of the Christian is a useless walk of trying to do good things. That's what he's going to tell you. And in the end, he's going to tell you that you're not going to make it anyways. So why don't you just do it my way? I know that's got to resonate with some of you because it resonates with me, and I know it resonates with some friends and people I've talked to recently. Those are the lies the enemy tries to tell you, but if you read that scripture and you've given your life to Jesus Christ, you are now bought and paid for. You are claimed by the King of Kings. And nothing, nobody, spiritual or otherwise, can take that away. Hang on to that, brethren. Hang on to that. Verse 41, I love this. At this, the Jews there begin to grumble about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They're freaking out a little bit because he's doing this whole thing with the bread and you got to eat, you know. And he doesn't help them out really at all. He keeps going. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he say, I'm the bread from heaven? Jesus says, stop grumbling among yourselves. Sounds like he's at a kitchen table with his family. Jesus answered, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up in the last day. You might be here because God's drawing you. Just think that. Keep that in your mind as we go through this. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Verily, truly, I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. Belief. Belief. You know you don't got to do nothing. You don't got to do nothing. I want to just keep emphasizing that. Love the baptism, by the way. Isn't it one? I love the fact that there's spontaneous applause after a baptism. Oh, it's just great. Because as she went under the water and came back up, I just, you know, you could almost hear angels just rejoicing. And she's claimed. She's claimed. She can't be taken away. She's claimed. How beautiful is that? Isn't that a great feeling? You know, you're claimed. The King of Kings, the Creator of all things, has claimed you for His. And that's one of the reasons that we just rejoice. Because that can't be taken away. And you were called. And you were called. And some of you are here today. And maybe you're here today because you don't know why. Maybe you just decided to come to church with a friend. Maybe you just thought, well, I'm going to check this church out. Maybe you've been coming to churches for a long time and never allowed yourself to be claimed. maybe what's happening is what Jesus himself said, that you are being called. Verse 48, he said, I'm the bread of life. 49, your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. You know, Memorial Day touches me pretty hard. And I got to admit, I grew up in Canada where the military was not really something that was deeply respected or talked about. Yet when I came to this country, I was overwhelmed by how we honored those people who had fought for our nation. I'm reading a book called Gettysburg right now, and just humbled by it. And the Battle of Gettysburg, a terrible, terrible battle, a lot of battles that led up to it. And thousands of men died, walked straight up a line, straight towards guns pointing right at them. And literally, probably from this wall to that wall, walking in a line and seeing nothing but ends of barrels and cannons facing them. And they kept walking. They gave their life. They gave their life because they believed in something. Jesus died for everybody. Everybody. And if the God the Father is calling you, he literally is offering you eternal life. He's walked into the cannon shot. He's walked straight into it for you. In fact, his death wasn't quick. He suffered for us. And so when I think about the military and the people that have literally sacrificed for this country, I get choked up. Because they died for a democracy. Jesus died for eternal life for everybody. And I'm going to ask you this weekend, don't just eat your hamburgers and hot dogs. Think about both. Think about both. Think about those that died, those that gave up so much for the fact that we could sit here in peace. You realize right now there are churches around this world that are meeting in huddled, quiet corners with windows darkened, praying that the authorities don't beat down the door. Yet they're meeting and they're worshiping. And we're trying to decide whether we should come to church in the morning or not. And it just always humbles me when I think about that. When I talk about, and the scripture talks about God's calling everybody, and that God has offered that to everybody, there's a scripture I always think about. Because sometimes we're like, well, how do you know if God's calling everybody? Romans 1:20 says this, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. I was carrying a bag of groceries in the house, and I had my two bags hanging from these two fingers, and I had my iPhone here, and I still managed to turn the doorknob. Now, this device right here, they can't replicate it. Oh, they can make certain things that start to look like it, but the ability to do this, the ability for us to play instruments, Robert's up there doing all this, they can't create that. If you can look at just your hands and not see God, you're in denial. You're in denial. There is no excuse. There is no excuse, and I encourage those who maybe have lifted something higher than Jesus and God the Creator, maybe you need to rethink that, because there is no excuse. I'm going to turn, keep going down to verse 54. Whoever drinks my flesh, or eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise them up in the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. So he's telling them, this is real stuff. This is the stuff that leads to eternal life. And this in verse 56, this is what I want to focus on. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me. Now, I don't want us to miss this. Sometimes we run over scriptures and we go, remains in me. Okay, good. Yeah, remains. What does that mean? What does it mean to remain in me? This phrase is actually repeated throughout the book of John, and you need to understand the intimacy of this phrase. It actually is a word, and I'll pull it up here. The Greek word is meno, and it means to literally remain. But let's put it in context. In John 1:32, then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on Jesus. That's who he's talking about, on him. Look how further down in John 14, verse 10. Don't you believe that I am the Father and that the Father is in me and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me. That is the word remain as well. So we see this picture of Jesus and the Father one. And that same word is used where we were just at. Remains in me. You cannot miss the intimacy that's offered to us right there. We are offered an intimacy that is on the level of God the Father and Jesus Christ. We are being welcomed into that same intimacy. That's humbling to think about. But that's what he offers. That's what he died for. I'm going to finish up with a few verses here at the very end, the last three verses, and then we're going to do some ministry. So in verse 57, just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died. But whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. I got a challenge for you guys. I got a challenge for all of us. There are some people in here that have never taken the bread of life. And the Bible says today is the day of salvation. And you have an opportunity to accept that bread today. And every promise that we just read gets to be fulfilled in your life today. You have that option. You also have the full right to say no and decide to push it off to another day. I pray that you won't. But you have that option. And if God has been calling you, if you're here for a reason, and John 6:44 comes through to you, you know, no man can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. You're here for a reason. I want you to ask God right now. Whisper your prayer. Speak it silently. Say, God, is this you calling me right now? And then you'll have a chance to be prayed over. And we would love to welcome you into the kingdom of God. But there's another group of us. And this group of us has the bread of life inside of us. We've made that statement of belief and we've accepted Jesus and we're walking. And we're at that point where something's stopping us from experiencing the full bread, the fullness of Christ. It happens. We live in a corrupt world and we have challenges that we faced all the time. We have things that seem to drag us along. And I know this about my God, that he did not call me to a life of slogging it through the slough of despair. All the PSJ folks are going to go, yeah. You don't run through the slough of despair. You fight your way through. Maybe right now you feel like you're in the slough. Maybe there's something that's been a hold of you and it's gotten a hold of you and has just stopped you from experiencing the fullness in Christ. I'm not offering you a magic pill, by the way. I'm offering you a start. Because the life of a Christian is a life of walking forward in truth and living in the power of Christ. And if you are one of those that says, I need freedom, I've been fighting something too long, and I am not the example of Christ I want to be, and I don't want to continue to live this life of a Christian that is burdened down by sin. You want to get freed from that? Because I do. I got some things I need to be prayed for. We're going to do a ministry time. When I say ministry time, I just want you to know, when the early church got together, they prayed for themselves all the time. Everybody prayed. And it wasn't just the disciples standing there and the apostles going, I pray for you. No, everybody prayed. And I really want to open this up to everybody. And I'm going to ask some of you to come up, some of our leaders to come up to the front of the stage right now as we start. I'd like for you guys to come up, and as we begin to pray, and if you need prayer, put your hand up. If you want to accept Christ today, you can come up here as well. But as you come forward, I want you to believe what he said, that freedom is right there for you. Breaking the lies, oh, it's all you have to do. Maybe you've got a secret you need to break. Find someone you trust. Find someone that's going to love you, and we will do that for you. And we'll pray for you. Because we need this. I need this. You need this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Jesus, we thank you for the fact that you are the true bread of life. We thank you, Jesus, that you came and died for us. And we thank you for this amazing passage of Scripture where you shared this metaphor that really is just so pertinent even to us today. And Jesus, those people that are here in this room that you've been waiting for, that you know the Father's been calling, Jesus, I pray that this is the day that they step forward. That no more do they wait. No more do they try to do it on their power. That they literally make that decision that, no, I'm not going to be like the Jews. In fact, after this, Father, we read in the Scripture that many of his disciples left. Jesus, they left you because they just couldn't grasp that. I pray that they would not leave today without experiencing freedom and forgiveness. And Father, I pray for those of us that are in the slough of despair, that are slogging through something and need freedom. And we're fighting, God. We're doing what a good soldier should be doing. We're fighting. But Lord Jesus, you got to just free us from this. And that's why we ask that you give us the courage to walk up to somebody and say, I need prayer for this. I need prayer for this problem I've got, or this addiction, or this hatred or unforgiveness, or whatever it is. Just give them the courage to come and seek that. And God, I pray no judgment would be here today in the name of Jesus. I pray that no judgment, because there is no condemnation in you, Christ. And we pray that secrets would be ripped apart and healing would start. So Lord, we ask you now to do what you want to do. We ask for your love. We ask for your anointing. And we ask that you would move towards the freedom. And we expect great things. In Jesus' name, all God's people say, amen. There you go. Thank you.